The reading today is from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. The calling of the first disciples. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, that is the Lake of Galilee, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jane. About 4 or 5 years ago, Elaine and I went back to the UK and did some walking around the coast path. And one of the things we came across was something called the Minnock. And this is an area where it's right on the very coast, and it's like a little amphitheatre, and there's a stage right down the bottom. And then you sit on the edge around these around the edge, and you can just hear everything. And it was great. We actually managed to see a relatively good play. I can't remember exactly what it was, to be fair. It's a long time ago. But we sat there and... Sorry? The Emperor's New Clothes. Here we go. It was an interesting version of that. But anyway, that's not important. The important is the sense of theatre, the sense of sitting around and looking down at this stage, and then in the background is the sea. And then cliffs in the background. So this is an incredible space, this amphitheatre. And when we come to this story, you know, that's recorded in other Gospels, and it's like two sentences long, and Jesus called Simon and Peter, or Simon and Andrew and his brothers, and da-da-da-da, and they followed him. And that's it. But Luke here creates a theatre. And not only that, but it's actually set in a theatre as well. That as Jesus comes, and he comes to... he's starting to speak to a few people, and people gather, and more people gather, and then he gets to a time where he goes, "Oh, there's too many people here. I need to go out into the water." So he calls Simon over there. You know, the crew in the wings just kind of cleaning their nets, listening carefully. And he's talking to these people, and he gets Simon over and says, "Look, can you take me out in the water a little bit?" And so Simon, who's called Peter later, he takes him out. It would have been a relatively good-sized boat because it was a fishing boat. And so I can imagine Peter, you know, everyone would have known, if I can get just switch between Simon and Peter, just go with me. They do it in the Bible, so I'm sure I can get away with it. I just get confused. But so Jesus calls Peter over and says, "Oh, look, can you take me out a little bit?" Everyone would have known Peter in that area. He was a fisherman. He was loud, he was obnoxious, he was kind of in your face. He kind of put his foot in it all the time. He was a rough, tough fisherman. His hands would have been calloused with fishing nets. He would have had seven generations of family that were in the fishing business. This was their thing. This was his whole world, was fishing. And Jesus says, oh, can you take me out a bit? And you know, I can imagine old Peter going, yeah, all right. Jumps in the boat, rows him out a bit, throws the anchor over to make sure he doesn't tip, you know, the new rabbi out while he's mid-sentence. And then kind of sulks down in the bottom of the boat, you know, limelight. He didn't want to be in the limelight. I'm taking a bit of poetic license. I'm making it up as I think it is, or could have been. But I can just imagine Peter just sitting in the back of the boat and Jesus, you know, starting to teach. Interesting, they don't tell us what Jesus taught about. So maybe that's not the important thing in the story. But Peter gets into the boat and he's there and he's waiting and he's listening. And that area would have been like an amphitheatre of the Minnock. So there was a couple of people named, let me get it straight to make sure I get their names right. So the people are called Crizia and Miles, and they did this study. And they said that there would have been, you would have had in an area similar to this one, I'm not saying it's the exact space, but in similar to this on the Lake of Galilee, that there would have been the possibility of maybe up to 2,000 people or more in this space, and you could hear perfectly without amplification. I mean, we could turn my mic off, and I'm a teacher, and I could make my voice go to the back of the room, but a little bit more difficult on cue. I could put my teacher growly voice on too, but we won't go there. So they did the study and they said you could sit in a boat and up to 2,000 people or more could be heard. There's now a road that goes through the middle of it, but that's okay. And he said not only that, but they found out that you could have been on the bank and you could have talked to the person on the boat and they could have heard you as well. And that sits really well with how Jesus used to teach, because there was lots of to-ing and fro-ing, wasn't there? Lots of talking backwards and forwards, especially if the Pharisees were there. So they were in this natural amphitheater, and Jesus was teaching them. And the crowd, you know, they hung on every word, wondering, was he going to do miracles? What's he going to do next? What's going on? And then, after finishing, maybe the crowd starts to drift away. But they hear him clear as a bell say, ah, Simon, why don't you go out a bit and catch some more fish? And they would have heard Simon go, mate, we've been fishing all night. I'm a fisherman, seven generations of fishing. I know fishing. Now's not the time to fish. The best time to fish is at night time. It's the middle of the day. What are you talking about? But because you've said it, okay, I'll do it. He saw something in Jesus. He saw something around the sounds of the new Messiah. He heard something. And so the theater continues. And so he starts to take Jesus out. So the crowd drifts away even further. But wait, are they really going to go out and fish at this time? What's going on? So they ray out. And maybe they stop and they look. But look, it's like they've caught a couple. And so the crowd stops and turns and looks at them. But what? The boat is tipping over. What? They must have got a massive catch. So the crowd turn and start wandering back, perhaps. And a second boat as well. That's a lot of fish. These guys are rolling in money now. These guys are fishermen. This is their job. They're right. Man, I want to get close because I want to get some of this. But then maybe after they haul the fish in, the crowd start to dissipate again. And maybe they didn't hear Jesus say, actually, I want you to follow me. I want you to become fishers of men, not fishers of fish. Maybe they didn't hear that as the crowd drifts away. This is a great story. And there's so much in this story that it's one of my favorite exchanges with Jesus in the New Testament. And so, the fishermen let everything that they have known to be, go and follow after Jesus. They leave their boats, which is their security, their finance, their inheritance, everything they knew, they left. Can you imagine a dad? You did what? You just left the boats there with all that fish in it and you walked away? What are you doing? It's all right. Zebedee would have been the one who cleaned up all the fish and sold them at the market, and he made a good bit of coin, I would have thought. But that's what they left behind. Fishing was all they knew, and they left it behind to follow Jesus. And I just want to take three things from the story and relate it to us today. You see, one of the things Jesus does is he calls you by person. He calls you by name to get in the boat. He knows you. Yeah, he knows the good and the bad. He knows Andrew when no one's looking, when he has a bad day, when he blurts something out to his wife that he really shouldn't have. He knows and he sees. He knows the time when we don't do so well, and yet he still calls us into the boat and invites us into a closeness with him. And it's not that we have to do everything, because he's kind of the main thing. But we are called to work with him. We are called together. No longer do we have to go through the rules and rituals of the Jewish history, of having to have a priest go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle blood and do all the bits, because when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain was split open. So the very presence of God was open for all. That we are free from the power of sin and death, like we talked about earlier this morning. That he invites us to come and be his apprentice, to his disciple. And you know, every one of us have got a really good reason not to do it. We've all been disappointed by someone. We've all been disappointed by church in some way, shape, or form, because they didn't do it the way I liked it to be done, and that song was too loud, and the drums didn't fit in that song, and well, I mean, really, Davis wearing jandals for church, and the front, what's that about? Sorry, Davis, is he here? You know, we've all got reason. We've all been let down by people. You know, many of us have been let down by leadership. Many of us have been let down by family members. Many of us have been told things, and we've all got a really good reason not to get in the boat. But this morning is another opportunity that Jesus calls us to get in the boat again. We're never too young, never too old. We're never too sinful. We're never too broken. We're never too cynical. Everyone is invited on this next adventure with Jesus, because he calls us, not just as an individual, but he calls us into a family. And it's great to be kids in the family of God. So Jesus calls us as people. And Jesus calls us, point number two, Jesus calls us into the impossible. He doesn't call us into a life of mediocrity. He calls us into a life that we live by faith, so it is able for us to step into situations that are impossible, into things that we don't know, and times when the place and the time and everything seems wrong, but actually it works anyway because Jesus is there. Where at every turn we get a choice to follow him or not to follow him. In every difficult situation we have a choice to follow him or not to follow him. It may not feel like the right time, the right place, and everything is against us making that decision. But actually, he calls us into the miraculous. That at times when we lay hands on the sick, we see people healed because of what Jesus does. Not because we have anything in ourselves, but we are the ones who carry something of the living God within us as his Holy Spirit dwells with us. And point number three, Jesus calls us into purpose. He says to Simon Peter and Andrew, you'll be fishers of men. There is a purpose in them being drawn away from one thing so that there is a greater thing. There are seeds of promise in each one of us that we've never fulfilled. There are seeds of promise that we are called into that we might be the people of God he calls us to be in the time and space that we are in now. We're not all called to give up our jobs. We're not all called to lay aside everything in that physical sense. But we're all called to follow on this adventure with God, whatever that might look like. And that in that, we know there is purpose. We know that there is significance. And no matter what age or stage we are, there is purpose if we choose to follow him and choose to obey him in every day and every way that we go. So today, Jesus is calling you home. He says it's another year. You have a choice. Are you going to follow him this year? Are you going to live for him? And it may be that you have drifted slowly away from him, and it's time again to say, actually, Jesus, yeah, I know, I need to be back in that space. It may be that you've never actually ever said, actually, I need 100% to follow you, Lord Jesus. It may be that you just need to refocus and go, actually, yeah, Lord, I want to do it your way this year, as best as I can. Because we all fail. We all mess up. But it's about that attitude of wanting to follow him, wanting to do it the best we can. So we have an opportunity today to say yes to him. We have an opportunity today to say, yeah, God, as much as I can, I want to follow you. I want to join this adventure. I want to be a part of that. And I don't know, I've been a follower of Jesus for the last probably 55, 56 years. And every time, I want to be able to say yes to Jesus. I want to be able to say yes. I want to say yes. I want to do everything I can to follow you, to be your disciple, to be your apprentice, and to follow him.